Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll launch a crowdsourcing project that you can participate in with the local news website DNA Info to look at all the discretionary spending that your local New York City Council member does. It is now available in a data set. Let's look together at how New York City Council members spend money when no one else has to approve it. Here with me now to go through what they found and set you up to dig into it yourself are DNA Info political reporter Jeff Mays and Nigel Chiwea, a visual journalist for the site. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Nigel. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And listeners, get ready to follow along and do a sample one of these with us. Go to our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll show you our random city council district number generator and how to see all the very clear and simple to read list of all these discretionary funding items that they're throwing our taxpayer dollars at. Just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Jeff, remind us of the background here. New York City is divided into 51 council districts. Each council member gets a certain amount of money to spend however he or she sees fit in the community without having to get the whole council to vote on it like with normal spending items. Right. Why did you dig into these so-called member items?
Well, there's been a huge change in how these items are distributed. Previously, the previous council speaker, Christine Quinn, had much greater control over which council member, how much money they each received. But Melissa Mark-Viverito, who's the new speaker, when she came into office, one of her running points was that she was going to change this up a bit. So she actually gave up a bit of power in determining how about $50 million of this money is distributed to different council members. So it's not totally her own discretion anymore. There's actually a formula.
So just to give examples as a starting point of what you found, give listeners an idea of the range of what city council members are spending money on. These are from Carlos Menchaca, who's the city council member for District 38, which includes parts of Red Hook, Gowanus, and Sunset Park, $3,500 to Power Play NYC, Inc., which provides sports programming for female youth through summer and after-school programs, the Regina Opera Company, which gets $7,000 this year. They have productions that include three operas and five Sunday matinee concerts, and then $9,000 to something called the Resource Training Center to hire a licensed mental health counselor to provide individual and group therapy to individuals diagnosed with a substance abuse or mental health substance abuse-related dependency problem. So these, Nigel, at least those three examples sound like pretty straightforward, good community sports, arts, and mental health programs. So with that as a starting point, what are you looking for here? Are you looking for dirt? Are you looking for things that, you know, suggest corruption or graft? There's going to be a lot of sort of regular community groups that people see on these lists. So what are the outliers?
There aren't really many outliers. I think for the most part, what you're seeing is council members are giving money to community groups for things that the community sort of wants. I think it gets interesting when you look and see who is doing those community projects. Up in northern Manhattan, Councilmember Eudenis Rodriguez gave $10,000 to Columbia University to fund to pick up payments for prescription medications. The YMCA got 31 different grants from different council members.
Wow. In fact, Columbia University, to linger on that example for a minute, got some money from several district council members. Right, Jeff? And that could raise some eyebrows because Columbia University, obviously, very well off. Ivy League University that gets money from, you know, big money graduates of the school and, you know, other kinds of $50,000 a year tuition.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's my alma mater. They're rather wealthy. And I think, you know, there's been a call to kind of abolish these items altogether. And the sort of argument against it from the council members has been that this money goes to community groups that otherwise would be shut out of the process. So, you know, when you see some of the distributions, you might say, and wonder a little bit about them.
And actually, just correct me if I'm wrong. Was it more than one or just Councilman Rodriguez?
I believe it was just Rodriguez.
Giving money to Columbia University. All right. So, listeners, before we dig into some of this data now on the air, here's how we're going to ask you to do a little research on how city council members are spending this money, which is taxpayer money. If you go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, click on the Remember Member Items story. You'll see it right there. And then you'll see the detailed instructions on what to do. There's a random generator that will assign you a city council member and then a link to the spreadsheet. You don't have to go out to the district. You know, maybe you'll pull your own city council member on this random generator or not. You don't have to go anywhere. You will be sent to the spreadsheet where you will see a very clearly laid out list of the member items, these discretionary spending items that this city council member decided to throw taxpayer money out, broken down. We give you some tips online there as to what to look for, and then after you've done your research, you can add your thoughts into the document or you can post in the comment section. Just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to be a participant in our Remember Member Items crowdsourcing project. And let's see, maybe we can do one. Let's see if I can get myself right to that page right now. And maybe I'll even do it. Let's see. I think this is not coming up as easily as I hoped that it would. But there we go. Okay. There's today's Brian Lehrer Show page. I'm going to click on Remember Member Items. And right down there, you will see, folks, the word generate. I'm going to click on generate because we have that random city council district generator. It is loading. Oh, boy, I can't wait to see which city council member fate is going to deal me here. It's taking just a few seconds to load. And there it is. Okay, city council district 24. Aha, that turns out to be a city council member named Kallos, K-A-L-L-O-S. Familiar with Member Kallos? I'm not, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
Okay. I believe he's Quinn's replacement.
Yeah, actually.
So let's see. So now I'm going to scroll down to 24. And, oh, maybe that is city council, former city council member Quinn's district. Okay, so let's see. Just for example here. The Carter Burden Center for the Aging, $30,000, it looks like. $30,000 for craft classes, access to cultural events for the aging. Then DeRote, that's also a senior citizens support organization, $1,000 for homeless prevention programs for DeRote. Health Advocates for Older People. Either a lot of older people in this district or he thinks he gets a lot of votes from senior citizens.
There's a portion of the money, right, that is specifically designated for senior citizens.
Yeah, about $110,000 goes to every council member for aging programs.
I see. So there's a formula. Tell us more about this. So it's not completely discretionary?
Well, there's a base formula where every council member gets about $400,000 in base funding, and then they get another $110,000 for aging, another $150,000 for youth programs. And then depending on the level of poverty in their district, they could get anywhere from an extra $25,000 to $100,000. So, you know, for example, Helen Rothenthal, who represents the Upper West Side, the median household income there is $96,000. She got $685,000. But you look at Councilwoman Inez Dickens and, you know, where the median income is around $34,000, she received $735,000. So there is a formula there that makes more sense, which is what a lot of good government groups have been calling for a long time.
Right. And on the data visualization that you put together, you've separated out the amount of funding for aging and youth programs, anti-poverty organizations, and then the majority of the funds in each district goes to local initiatives,
yep,
which is the kind of catch-all, the really
bingo, yeah,
free choice ones for those city council members. Now, the political background of this is that Mayor de Blasio wanted to do away with this discretionary funding, these member items altogether, because there was just too much corruption in the past in these things. But his usual ally, City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito, said, no, nobody's closer to their district's needs than a local city council member, and they shouldn't have to go through the, you know, the bureaucracy and the hurdles of getting every little spending item passed by the 51 city council member 51 city council members. So these member items are really a good and community-oriented thing. So in theory, that makes sense. I guess in practice, the question is, can they improve on the past so that they really get handed out based on merit rather than based on politics or even corrupt influence?
Well, you know, that's the big question. I mean, in the past few years, you've had a couple of council members who have been convicted of misusing these funds. So you had Dan Halloran, who was accused of taking a $15,000 bribe to funnel $80,000 to a nonprofit where he, you know, allegedly knew that it was going to be a no-show job. So, you know, that was just used an example, came up in the mayor's race. Mayor de Blasio also, you know, wanted to get rid of the items, but he has praised these changes that have come about. Also, I mean, in 2011, Scott Stringer did a study of the items and basically found that there was no rhyme or reason to them. There was no reason to explain why some constituents got more money in some districts than others. And there was also no sort of need-based formula. So this sort of new formula kind of addresses that. Hasn't solved everyone's complaints about it, but it does seem to address it a little better.
We looked into who that city council member Kalos is. It's Ben Kalos, listed as number 24 on the list. That's not District 24. It's just kind of the list that we have. But his district is Upper East Side and Roosevelt Island. That's not Christine Quinn's old district, but it is Upper East Side and Roosevelt Island. We dug into, just as an example, some of the things that he's spending discretionary funds on. And so there you have it, listeners. We are launching a crowdsourcing project that you can participate in with the local news website DNA Info to look at all the discretionary spending that your local New York City Council member does. It is now available in a data set. So go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show, and you'll see the word generate on the member items page, and you can assign yourself a city council member and take a look at the things that they're voluntarily spending taxpayer funding on without having anybody looking over their shoulder, except now you, and then post your observations on our page. Want to play? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show, and you can do it. And we'll do a results segment later in the week on Thursday. So do this in the next day or two, and we'll see what you come up with. I've been speaking with DNA Info political reporter Jeff Bays and Nigel Chuea, visual journalist at the site. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.